Well, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. We may have heard already that today, and Brian, make sure you check that we've got the latest on this, would you please, just to make sure that something hasn't happened that I'm not aware of. But Salman Rushdie, the novelist, author of the Satanic Verses, was to give a lecture or a speech at the Chautauqua Institution in Chautauqua, New York, which has been a center of liberal spirituality. It's been a center for self-improvement, self-help. It used to be a major center for Protestant liberalism in the 19th into the 20th century. But he was there. It continues to be a high point. They have great lectures there. But he was give a speech. It's about 75 miles south of Buffalo. Somebody jumped up on the stage, stabbed him in the neck. He went down. There was a noticeable pool of blood under him on the stage. Before he was rushed to the hospital, there was a woman from Buffalo, Linda Abrams, who was there, sitting right in the front row. And she said, you know, this guy just kept trying to attack Mr. Rushdie, even after he was restrained. It took like five men to pull him away, and he was still stabbing. He was just furious, like intensely strong and just fast. Now, most of you probably remember a little bit about Salman Rushdie. He has spent three decades under police. Well, let me rephrase that. He spent many years under police protection, living in hiding after the Ayatollah Khomeini, the supreme leader of Iran after the 1979 Iranian Revolution, called for his execution in 1989 because of his novel, The Satanic Verses. Now, this novel, The Satanic Verses, I'm not recommending it. I'm just acknowledging that this novel was considered offensive to Islam. It was banned in India, where Rushdie had actually been born, and he was barred from the country for more than a decade. And Brian just ran something into me here, a headline saying, hardline supporters of Iran's religious leaders praise the attack on Rushdie. So here we have from Iranian news service basically saying that, he deserved it. Glad it happened. I'll see if I can read a few of those direct quotes. But Rushdie, like I said, spent many years under police protection. And the secular press right now is saying we have no motive for Rushdie's stabbing. Well, strictly speaking, that's true, I guess. But for three decades, Muslims have been calling for his death. Even now, there's still a bounty on his head, still active. I don't think I'm rushing to judgment to voice my suspicion, strong suspicion, that this was payback by a Muslim sympathetic to Iran and the late Ayatollah Khomeini. I checked out Iran state media a little bit earlier today, and even then it was calling Rushdie an apostate, his writings blasphemous, insulting to the Prophet Muhammad, and implying that he got what he deserved. Bryant just ran this into me. Here's a quote from the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. This is the current Iranian leader, not to be confused with Khomeini. A quote from the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the current Iranian leader, was widely shared on social media, in which he said the fatwa against Mr. Rushdie was fired like a bullet that won't rest until it hits its target. This deserves congratulations. God willing, we will celebrate Salman Rushdie going to hell soon, said one Iranian commentator on Twitter. Hussein Sarimi, a conservative social media activist, wrote on Twitter that the attacker was part of Islam Soldiers Without Borders. Revenge may be delayed, but it will inevitably happen, Mr. Sarimi said. It's disturbing because this comes just days after the Justice Department, our Justice Department, released information that an Iran Revolutionary Guards Corps member engaged in a plot to kill former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Why? in retaliation for the U.S. killing of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Quds Force leader Qasem Soleimani, who was taken out in an airstrike. So I'm sure this attack on Rushdie, and I pray for his well-being and his healing. And he's not been one of my favorite people, but I certainly wouldn't wish this kind of thing on him. He's been basically a secularist, as far as I can see, and he's been used frequently to make egregious and sometimes silly statements about religion being a force for evil in the world. Again, there's no such thing. Yeah, this drives me nuts too. There's no such thing as religion. There are religions, but there's no one thing that can be identified as religion. Stephen Prothero, I think Boston University, wrote a book, which I love the title of it. The book is simply God is Not One. And it takes a look. It just gives a very common sense look at the differences between 8 of the great world religions. All right. It's very hard to know what unites all of them. Certainly, I suppose you can say they're all united by some belief that there's something more than this world. Okay? But they're not even united in the belief that there's a creator. They're not united in the belief that there's a savior. They are... There's overlap on the ethics of a lot of the world religions. There's a lot of differences, but there's also overlap. But to generalize and say that religion is this or religion is that simply doesn't fly. And yet you find very sophisticated, progressive, culturally progressive people talking about religion as though it's a one-dimensional thing that we all know what it is. A universe in which the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Dalai Lama, and the God of the Ayatollah Khomeini, a universe that could contain those three gods wouldn't be a universe. It'd be an insane asylum. There's simply not connectedness. These are very different views of the world. They're conflict. The conflict is clear. Anyways, I'm sure that this attack is going to have the literary world wringing its hands. And don't be surprised, by the way, if somehow this gets turned around and becomes a commentary, not on bad religion, by which I mean jihadist Islam, but I won't be surprised if it gets turned around as evidence for how uncivil American life is today. I wouldn't be surprised if this gets turned around to be a judgment on the national populism, which is frequently identified with Donald Trump, or the idea of a populist movement. Pat Buchanan used to talk about coming at us with their pitchforks, I won't be surprised if this gets turned around as evidence that modern American politics has grown so uncivil. A lot of people are afraid of blaming Islam when this feature of Islam comes into public view. It's embarrassing. Nobody likes to behold anybody else in judgment about their religion. I don't think a lot about religion myself. I'm not religious myself, but I don't want to hold anybody else in judgment. They might just quote Rushdie, in fact, a man who said that man uses God to justify the unjustifiable. That's true, but man uses anything he can justify. Man uses anything he can to justify the unjustifiable, right? If his concept of God will help him get what he wants, then God will. But not all religions are the same. The God of Mother Teresa is not the God of the Ayatollah Khomeini. The God of John Paul II is not the God of the Dalai Lama. So don't be surprised if this thing gets turned around and they mislabel the cause of the attack, they won't. Again, I am acting on the strong suspicion that this is related to Islam's fatwa against Salman Rushdie. So I might be wrong, but given the history here, that's the horse I'm betting on. But don't be surprised if that gets neglected in favor of some commentary on how uncivil American politics has come and how people are being encouraged to attack their opponents. This has happened before. I'll give you one example of it, which if this hasn't occurred to you before, you'll thank me that I pointed this out. When JFK was shot, it was amazing. In fact, if you look at any documentary today, it almost always begins with saying that he was going down to Dallas to confront the extreme conservatism, the hateful conservatism that was there. And then what ends up happening? He's assassinated. By who? JFK was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald, who was an active street-level promoter of Castro's Cuba, a man who had defected to the Soviet Union, married a Russian wife. A few months before he killed Kennedy, he had fired shots at one of these extremist conservatives, Major General Edwin Walker. Walker was an icon of the political far right. He lost his commission as a major general because he had been accused of indoctrinating his troops with right-wing literature from the John Birch Society. Robert McNamara removed Walker of his command. And at that time, the conspiratorially minded John Birch Society claimed that President Eisenhower had been a secret sympathizer with the communists and the liberal left. The notion was absurd, and I think Russell Kirk, the conservative literary figure and thinker, I thought had the best response. He had no sympathy with the Birchers. He just sighed and said, look, Eisenhower's no liberal. He's just a golfer. But after Kennedy's assassination, conservatism in Dallas was blamed for the assassination. It was a left-wing advocate, a Soviet and Castro sympathizer who killed Kennedy, and yet people still believe that it was the hostility of the right-wing atmosphere in Dallas that killed Kennedy. Crazy, crazy stuff. The academic and cultural elite share a widespread notion about secularization and religion. They think the more secular we become, the safer we are. Look, that flies in the face of what we know from the 20th century. We've had lots of experiments in secular government. Soviet Union, Mao's China, Castro's Cuba, Kim Jong-il's North Korea, all were thoroughly secular, and they were thoroughly dehumanizing. Don't be afraid of religion, but know what the heck you're talking about. And in this case, I think we're going to find it was a jihadist who decided to fulfill the fatwa of the Ayatollah Khomeini. And that should be put square in front of all of these secularists. I'm Al Kresta.